Good afternoon.
This meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order at 1:32 p.m. We are in Belt's Room 205 of the Thomas Stewart Building, the nation's most beautiful capital city of Juneau, Alaska, even on a windy and very blustery day here. Today is Monday, January 29th, 2024. Members present are Senator Merrick, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Dunbar, and myself, Senator Bjork. Senator Bishop is excused today. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off or silence your cell phones. I'd like to recognize and welcome our recording secretary, Lisa Denny, and our LIO moderator, Emily Mesh. Welcome, everyone, to Senate Labor and Commerce. Today, we have two items on our agenda. Up first is Senate Bill 182, extending Big Game Commercial Services Board, and Senate Bill 152, Community Energy Facilities Net Metering. First up, we have Senate Bill 182. We first heard this bill on January 22nd, where we had a presentation of the bill and heard from Legislative Auditor Chris Curtis and from Board Chair Jason Bunch. Again today, we will be taking public testimony on the bill. It is my intention today to finish public testimony and look to the will of the committee. To begin, we will have my staff member, Mr. Ramey Matuszewski, give us a brief review of the bill. Mr. Matuszewski, thank you for joining us at the table. If you could please state your name for the record and begin your recap, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ramey Matuszewski, staff to Senator Bjorkman, and I am here for a brief review of Senate Bill 182, which proposes to extend the Big Game Commercial Services Board until June 30th, 2032. I have with me Director Sylvan Robb from the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, and Jason Bunch, the Chair of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, to answer any further questions you may have regarding this legislation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Matuszewski. Also online, available for questions. I think Mr. Matuszewski covered this, but Director Robb, Jason Bunch, and a couple of other people, I think, as well. Do any members of the committee have further questions? You have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any questions but comments. Should I make them now or should I wait?
You can make them now.
You sure?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to thank Sylvan for giving me a timely and the committee response to my question that I had at the last meeting. Thank you so much. And I also want to say that I support 100% extending this board, but at the same time, I also respect the fact that we have auditors in place, that they do their job, and the recommendation was not full 8 years, but I think six. And I respect the auditor's opinion, and I just want to put that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. We will go now to public testimony. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify to Senate Bill 182? Seeing no one in the room, we will go online to Mr. Cabot Pitts in the Matsu LIO.
Hi, Senator Bjorkman. You guys hear me okay?
We can, sir.
Hi. For the record, my name is Cabot Pitts. I am an Alaska resident of 15 years. I hold a registered guide license and currently reside in Palmer, Alaska. I'm a bush pilot, a commercial fisherman in Bristol Bay, and hold three federal guiding concessions with the National Park Service, one in the Katmai Preserve on the Alaska Peninsula and two in the Wrangell-St. Elias Preserve. I've called in today to support the reinstatement of the Big Game Commercial Services Board for another 8 years. Over the years, starting out as an apprentice packer and working my way up to holding registered guide license has allowed me to find work in all areas of the state, from the far north Brooks Range all the way down to the very tip of the Alaska Peninsula. It is truly a passion for me, and I am very thankful for the opportunity to pursue this line of work for a living. This opportunity would not be possible without the public process and regulation that the Big Game Commercial Services Board has put forth. I have seen the changing dynamic of the board over the years, and it has been a very positive way. By setting higher standards for individuals and holding licenses and consequences for those who do not follow the rules has allowed for a positive impact, I feel, for our state in helping regulate and holding true to our deep values as a professional hunting guide industry in Alaska. I have been personally involved with the Big Game Commercial Services Board since I obtained my assistant guide license in 2007, then became involved even further with the professional testing side of things and proctoring the oral exams for new registered guides in the state. With always improving and testing on the testing standards and having advanced licensing program helps ensue confidence and in the long run saves money by keeping license holders educated on the rules and regulations of operating and holding a professional license. I'm a big advocate of continuing education across all professional fields, as everyone has something to learn no matter your experience or time in a certain field. This all wouldn't be possible without a board like the Big Game Commercial Services, the division, and obviously the public volunteers. I do appreciate your time and hearing my testimony today, and I just thank you for your guys' dedication and service to our state. I hope you guys have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pitts. We appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
Next up is Mr. Dick Rohr. Mr. Rohr, please state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Rohr. I'm Master Guide License Number 69, 50-plus years resident of Alaska. When the Big Game Commercial Services Board was reinstated in 2005, I was one of the two guide members who served two terms during that time. I know the value of the services of the board and the time commitment required of members of the board, particularly those who are licensed as big game guides. I do want to note, so I encourage you to pass this on with the 8-year recommendation. I do want to point out one of the recommendations that was in the annual report that came from the current board with a unanimous vote seeking legislation for a permanent full-time executive administrator position. During my time on the board, we had two full-time licensing examiners and one supervisor. Today, we have one full-time and one part-time administrator. We desperately need, and we have the finances to pay for, a permanent full-time executive position. I'm not sure that we should attempt to add it to this legislation, but I wanted to make you aware of that need and assure you of the board's finances currently in the black, somewhere between $700,000 and $800,000. The next biennial, according to our current numbers, there will, I anticipate, at least another $400,000 in the black added to that. So just to point out that we the industry, along with the board, have worked toward securing finances to cover this position, and I encourage any support that we can get from the legislature. Thank you for your work. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I take any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rohr. Questions from members of the committee? Thank you. Any further public testimony on Senate Bill 182? Seeing and hearing none, I'll close public testimony. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, for the record, want to correct a statement that I made earlier. I said that I respect the auditor's opinion. It's not an opinion, it's a recommendation. So I respect the auditor's recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good, Senator Gray Jackson. back before the committee now on Senate Bill 182. My comments to this bill are that it was the thought of my office in crafting this piece of legislation and setting the term at 8 years that this sunset bill would remain just a sunset bill without any other legislative changes attached to it for the ease of the process and what I hope remains a clean sunset bill. But it is also my intention to introduce a bill that provides for a position as Mr. Rohr outlined that would assist the Big Game Commercial Services Board with licensing, with making sure that that board has the resources they need to meet their mission and do their job. And so we will be looking at that legislation soon as a committee and then moving from there. But certainly this bill has a ways to go through the process and other committees will get a bite at the apple as well. Any other comments from members of the committee on Senate Bill 182? Seeing and hearing no one else, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move to report Senate Bill 182 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there objections? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 182 moves from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the report. We're back on the record at 146. Next up, we have Senate Bill 152, Community Energy Facilities Net Metering. Senator Willikowski is delayed due to our beautiful weather here in Juneau, but we have his staff, David Dunsmore, here to present the bill. Mr. Dunsmore.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is David Dunsmore. I'm staff to Senator Bill Willikowski. Senator Willikowski sends his apologies that due to the weather, he's not able to join us today, but he thanks the committee for taking the time to hear this important piece of legislation. Senate Bill 152 will help Alaska meet the goal the legislature set in 2009 for Alaska to become a leader in renewable and alternative energy development. SB 152 will create a community energy program for economically regulated utilities. This is also referred to as virtual net metering. It will allow individual ratepayers to subscribe to renewable energy projects and receive their share of the benefits as a credit on their bills. And it'll help achieve our goals of affordability and reliability in our electrical system. Community energy is a popular model across the country. 23 other states have community energy legislations, and dozens more programs exist at the utility regulatory level. This is an area of significant growing opportunity. There's 7.3 gigawatts of new solar capacity expected by 2030, and community energy is the fastest growing sector in renewable energy development. This bill helps close some of the gaps in Alaska's current net metering program. Currently, we have net metering laws and regulations adopted by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska for a wind or solar installation tied to a specific property and meter. Excess energy is sent back to the grid, and the utility credits the ratepayer for the excess utility generated, although ratepayers are still responsible for covering base rate charges. So SB 152 targets people who currently don't have a practical way to access net metering. For example, many condo associations or apartment owners, or even just a homeowner whose land isn't particularly well suited for solar or wind, don't have a way currently to benefit from the net metering program. Community energy allows subscribers to continue to stay subscribed from the system if they move within the utility. Both residential and commercial ratepayers will be able to subscribe to community energy projects. So I said this just expands options for net metering. It allows ratepayers to pool resources on a single project and split the net metering benefits between themselves. Makes net metering available for apartment and condo owners so that each individual meter doesn't have to have its own solar or wind array set up. Ratepayers can crowdsource small-scale renewable energy projects by subscribing to community energy. And utilities can operate their own programs, which their ratepayers will have the option to choose whether or not they wish to subscribe to. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska will be responsible for overseeing this program. This bill applies only to utilities that are economically regulated by the RCA. Utilities will submit their community energy plans to the RCA for review and approval, and the RCA will have the authority to waive or modify any of the provisions of this bill because we really want this to be something that's going to work for each utility with their own specific needs. So how a project will work is either a third-party project, which could be a condo association, it could be a private business that's looking just for subscribers, or the utility could initiate their own project. The utility will accept it if it meets the qualifications for their community energy plan. When sufficient subscribers are signed up to finance it, the project is developed. And when the generation comes online, the subscribers begin to see credits, similar if they were using the current net metering program. Some of the benefits of community energy would be lower energy bills for subscribers. Would allow leveraging both federal dollars and private sector investments while creating renewable energy jobs. Will help offset the cooking lake gas shortage and improve our grid resiliency, and will allow people like condo associations and apartments to participate in net metering. Typically, nationwide, community energy subscribers save about 10 to 20% on their bills once the payback period is ended, which typically lasts between 3 or 5 years. But obviously, the specifics of any given project are going to vary. There's a significant opportunity for community energy development. There's $7 billion in federal money available nationwide. And Alaska currently ranks last in the nation in solar jobs. So solar in particular is an area where Alaska has untapped potential. worldwide, renewable energy jobs have surpassed fossil fuel jobs, according to BP, and community solar is the fastest growing part of the renewable energy sector. Community energy can help offset rail belt natural gas usage. As the committee members know, the rail belt utilities are facing a potential gas shortage and their proposals to import natural gas from outside of Alaska. And so any energy we generate right here in Alaska is electricity that doesn't have to be generated from imported natural gas. Community energy has the opportunity to improve grid resiliency by decentralizing generation across the grid. We're all aware of instances where fires and snowstorms and wind have left significant portions of the rail belt without power for significant periods of time, and having smaller scale projects distributed across the grid will help improve reliability. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or walk the committee through the section with you today.
Very good. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Dunsmore, you were stressing several times during the presentation that it's only regulated utilities. Are there, I assume that's to sort of exempt smaller, more private grids. Is that the case, or do those exist in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, generally smaller scale utilities are not directly economically regulated by the RCA. My understanding is the intent is to allow, for those are, simpler utilities and to allow them, more flexibility and freedom to operate. And why they aren't included in this bill is they don't need this bill to operate. They can operate their own community energy programs currently now.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Brief at ease. Back on the record at 1:55, we are talking about Senate Bill 152, Community Energy and Community Solar. Are there any further questions for Mr. Dunsmore? All right. At this time, we will open up public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify to Senate Bill 152? Right. Brief at ease. Record at 1:56 for the committee and others. We have Rich Gazaway and Alex Petkanis online. They are available for some questions, as well as Becky Alvey from the RCA is also available for questions. Going online now to public testimony. First up, Marie Francis. Marie, please state your name for the record, your affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Marie Francis. I am testifying in support of SB 152 on behalf of myself. Like many folks that live on the rail belt, I've been alarmed by the news of the natural gas shortages that are that we are going to be facing. As a renter, I am unable to install solar panels on my apartment. However, I have a vested interest in seeing the renewable energy transition in light of the natural gas shortages. Community solar is an equitable method of solar deployment, and I would very much like to see a community solar in Alaska. Thank you for your time, and yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony, Marie. Up next, Alex Petkanis.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, my name is Alex Petkanis, and I'm speaking as an Anchorage homeowner and also as the Climate and Clean Energy Program Manager of the Alaska Center. I strongly support this bill and urge this committee to move things forward and work with your colleagues to pass this piece of legislation. And obviously, there are many reasons to support community energy projects, but I wanted to quickly highlight some of the key economic implications. In states that have already adopted community energy structures, consumers see an average of 10% in savings on electricity bills. With over 70,000 people in Alaska living below the federal poverty level, these savings really matter. Second, as the price of extracting natural gas continues to rise, community energy is one tool to increase diversification of our energy supply. By ensuring we have many alternatives in place, utility rates will be able to remain stable rather than be impacted by the volatility of natural gas. And to protect consumers from facing huge price increases in the future, we need to reduce our reliance on any singular type of energy. And in addition to these consumer-side savings, community energy would create new job opportunities in our state. Local property owners would be able to build and maintain solar arrays or small wind projects and sell the energy to a utility. When these solar arrays or small wind projects are locally owned and operated, funds flow back into our communities here in Alaska. This is an ongoing investment in our state compared to one-time payments to external energy suppliers with no listed interest. With that, I'd like to thank you all for your time and work on this issue.
Thank you very much, Alex. Up next, Sarah Thomas. Sarah, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Can you hear me?
We can, ma'am.
This is Sarah Thomas. I am a resident of Anchorage, Alaska, and I also work for Alaska Community Action on Toxics, and I just wanted to call in today to support this bill. Anything that can help us get solar and make it be cheaper and more widespread is going to be, we support that. And, you know, there's no reason to drag our feet on solar. We know solar energy is a really viable source of, like was said before, diversifying our energy use. And so we need to walk into the future using the best tools we have possible. And so fully supporting the community solar and this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah. We're going to go now to the Teams Hub, where we will hear from Mr. Philip Wright. Mr. Wright, welcome to Senate Labor and Commerce. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Chairman. Can you all hear me?
We can.
Excellent. Well, first and foremost, I just want to say good afternoon and start by thanking the chairman and the committee for taking up this legislation today and for hearing my testimony. My name is Philip White. I work part-time as a policy analyst for the Alaska Public Interest Research Group, or ACPIRG, and I'm an expert in energy policy focusing on consumer choice, competition, and reducing system costs. And I'm here today to testify in favor of Senate Bill 152 because SB 152 unleashes the cheapest, cleanest energy and makes it available to nearly all Alaskans. Solar, wind, and battery storage have seen phenomenal cost reductions of up to 90% over the past decade. And according to some estimates, solar is now the cheapest energy source in the history of humanity. As of 2023, more investment is flowing into renewable energy than in oil and gas. And as you all know, these savings are especially important as the Rail Belt is facing a natural gas shortage. The Rail Belt needs a massive build-out of local and low-cost energy sources to protect Alaskans from the surge of energy costs that will result from imported LNG. And SB 152 enables energy diversification and helps the Rail Belt diversify away from increasingly high-cost gas. I should note, you know, I think it's interesting to look at the history of community solar. Community solar was first pioneered by rural electric cooperatives in 2006, and since then it has saved ratepayers billions of dollars. And as mentioned by previous testifiers, the average bill savings for community solar is upwards of 10%. And I would just make one small edit to what Mr. Dunsmore said. You know, depending on how these programs are set up, that 10% savings can occur right away. You don't necessarily have to wait the 3 to 5 years to pay off your full investment. Again, programs are structured differently throughout the U.S., but in many places, consumers begin to see a savings on their bill immediately when these facilities come online. The last thing I would like to take the opportunity to mention is just that, you know, we've had net metering for over 10 years here in Alaska. It's brought real and sizable benefits to many Alaskans. But again, you can only get those benefits if you own your house, right? If you have a south-facing roof, if you have enough property to put a solar array on there, if you have a good enough credit score. So what this bill is about is really expanding those benefits for more Alaskans. And through that, bringing those benefits will help the grid, right? There are all of these grid advantages that come with diversified renewable energy projects. And so this legislation permits a wide variety of stakeholders to build and operate these low-cost energy facilities. This could be a condo association, as Mr. Dunsmore talked about. It could also be a church, right? Or it could be an independent power producer. And at the end of the day, you know, I also see this legislation really being about energy choice and energy freedom, right? We want to give Alaskans more opportunities to invest in energy sources that are going to save them money at the end of the day. And historically, Alaska's grid was built out with either funding from ratepayers through their bills or from the state of Alaska. And SB 152 opens a major new pipeline of financing to build projects in the state without relying on ratepayer or state funds. Basically, it opens up a huge pipeline of private investment, which de-risks building these renewable energy projects and protects utilities and their ratepayers. So in conclusion, SB 152 creates a new environment of energy prosperity for Alaskans. It gives Alaskans greater energy choice, unlocks millions of dollars in private sector investment, and builds the cheap, clean energy future we need to power Alaska's growing economy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Are there questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you once again. I have a couple of questions, either for Mr. Dunsmore or members of the RCA who are online with us, whoever would like to answer. My question is regarding how cost structures might be set up for people who would like to construct solar panels, hooking them up to the grid, and then for adjustments that utilities have to make because of the variable nature of the power produced by these panels. So who bears the cost of those things under a system like this?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilikowski. A lot of the details we are envisioning that the utilities would work out in their own individual plans, and the RCA would review, and I imagine they would have more technical knowledge about how they would implement it. This bill, I know the issue of cross-subsidization is something that was discussed at length when the current net metering program was created. We're not envisioning that community energy as laid out in this bill would allow for any cross-subsidization above and beyond what could be argued exists under the current net metering program, which, you know, the RCA went through a rate-making, you know, rulemaking process to come up with that system.
Okay. Thank you for that answer, Mr. Dunsmore. That leads, your answer leads to another question. How is this community energy program an improvement on the current net metering program? I'm not clear on that.
Mr. Chairman, we see the biggest improvement is the ability for it to be accessible for more people. Because Mr. White put it pretty succinctly, you need to have pretty specific property requirements on the site where your meter is located to be able to access net metering currently. Something that, like, we actually in Senator Wilkowski's office found out while we were working on this bill that we have a senior housing co-op in Senator Wilkowski's district that had looked at doing net metering, and they had determined it wasn't practical because it would require every condo owner who wanted it to have their own panel. There wasn't enough room on their roof. This would allow pooling. It would also allow having a project, you know, where there's land or sufficient space to then be crowdsourced by multiple subscribers across a larger area, and just allow opportunities for more ratepayers to see net metering benefits.
Very good. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you again, Mr. Dunsmore. So many of us on this committee, and I think throughout the legislature, have been engaged in very active conversations with the utilities, the four major rail belt utilities in particular, about the kind of things that the testifiers expounded on. It's interesting that they aren't here today. I don't think they're online. They already have a net metering program. Have any of the four, to your knowledge, sort of expressed strong opposition to this bill? You know, have you had a chance to speak with Chugach Electric, for example, and could you relay any of those conversations?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, we have had conversations with individual utilities and with the Alaska Power Association and other stakeholders. There are some specific concerns with language that exists in the bill that we are happy to work with the committee and with the utilities to make it work. We actually just received some specific feedback over the weekend from Chugach that's going to be really helpful, and we will be happy to work with the committee to make this the best bill it can be.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Very good. Other questions? Seeing none, it was my intention that there were going to be members from utilities here in town actually today, which was a great opportunity for us to hear this bill. However, they got to tour some of the Juneau airspace this morning and fly right back to Anchorage with Senator Wilkowski. They will be in town this week, though, I think, and we'll get a chance to work with them on the bill. So thank you very much, Mr. Dunsmore. Appreciate your time today. At this time, we are going to have just our closing announcements for our committee. We'll meet again on Wednesday, January 31st. We'll hear testimony and reports out on executive orders concerning the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, the Board of Direct Entry Midwives, and the Board of Masseuses and Massage Therapists. So those will be great opportunities for sure. As there is no further business to come before the committee, this meeting is adjourned at 2:12 p.m. Welcome.